pray these things. Amen. You can be seated.
Children can be dismissed. Again, a line in that last song caught my attention. It talked about surrender and laying your life down. I'll just tell you at the beginning, that's where we're headed in today's message. So I'm going to circle back around to that. I want to begin this morning with the reading of God's Word. This key passage that we're going to base this next series on is from Galatians 5. And I'm going to read 16 to 26. Paul, writing to the church, a struggling church of believers in Galatia. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Now, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying one another. In this passage, I consider one of the most important passages of instruction from God's Word on actually living out the Christian life. We see that in this passage, the key to living in spiritual victory. And I remind you that spiritual victory isn't some little side category. By spiritual victory, I simply mean, and I think that Paul simply means, victory in all of life. Because all of life is spiritual. So don't forget that. This is talking about every day, hour by hour, day by day, living your life. In this passage, we see addressed the biggest danger that you and I face. And that is the danger of trying and thinking about living the Christian life somehow on our own strength and according to our own understanding. Huge danger. When we try to live the Christian life our own way and by our own strength, it can only lead to two negative results. And you see this, and you look at people's lives, living on our own, it either leads to pride. Some people, we develop this idea of the Christian life where I take a few principles that I think are kind of Christian and that I'm pretty good at, and I keep those principles and I live according to that. And then there's these other things that God says I'm supposed to be about that I'm not very good about, so I ignore those and I keep those out of my mind and I just keep focusing on this little list. and I live those principles out, and I begin to look down my nose at people that don't keep my little list of principles, and it leads to pride. This is what Jesus actually confronted when he met the Pharisees of his day. They had taken a few of the rules and they kept them, and they left others out and they added some to the ones that they thought they would be good at. And it all led to pride. They were doing it on their own strength. And so you see some Christians that are full of pride for all the wrong reasons. The other end of that, trying to live out the Christian life on our own, is the other extreme, the other end of the spectrum. And that is sometimes it leads to despair. Because some Christians look at this, what they believe is what God wants from them, and all of the things of the Christian life, and they try to do it on their own strength, and they come smack dab into the reality day by day that I'm just not doing very well. I keep blowing it. I keep falling short. And I just can't seem to overcome things that are overwhelming me, and I keep falling into the same, you know, sinful patterns, and after a while the person just gives up in despair and just says, you know, I just must not get this thing because I'm not changed. We sang a lot about change today, but some of us look at our lives like, I'm not really sure I see much change. And I feel overwhelmed, and eventually I just kind of maybe give up. But this passage reveals a deeper reality we must understand. This morning we must understand, number one, that there is a battle going on every moment of every day in the heart and mind of every believer. It is continuous. And if you're not living with an active awareness of this battle, by default, you will always be losing this battle. There is a battle going on. And the good news of this passage is that through Christ and the gift of His Holy Spirit that God has given us through the gospel, all that we need for a new life of growth and victory is there for us. But it's not automatic. You guys know this. The spiritual life and growing and victory and obedience and all of that is not automatic. You don't just, without any effort or anything on your own, you just, you know, you get saved and then there's just this gradual upward becoming like, it's not automatic. There is a battle going on. We must cooperate and surrender to this resource of life that God has given us. And so this morning we're just going to begin to get into this passage that this series is based upon and look at these two issues of, and so we're going to go back just to the very beginning and look at the first couple of verses in our passage, Galatians 5, 16 and 17. Paul begins and says, "So I say, I tell you, believers, live by the Spirit." Because that isn't automatic. I have to tell you, in fact, this is in the command mode of speaking. He is telling them, Christians, you have to choose to live by the Spirit. Because the Galatians, they were waffling on this. They were thinking about going another direction. We'll get into that in weeks to come. He says, if you live by the Spirit, if you will make this choice, you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. There's two opposing forces at work in your life. The Spirit and the sin nature. And he tells us in verse 17, it's a battle. The sinful nature desires. There's something in each of us that is part of us that desires what is contrary to the Spirit, to the things of God. And friend, if you're not consciously aware of that, you have been totally duped by that sinful nature. And the Spirit, here's the good news. What is contrary desires what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that, I would put it this way, automatically, if you just let life go its own way, you will not do what you want. So, if you would get your outlines, we're going to kind of just unpack this a little bit this morning. We are introduced here in the beginning to the participants in the battle for your daily soul. In one corner, the old sin nature is introduced to us again. And I will define that for our purposes this morning, and I'll unpack this in the next few minutes. It is the part of us that constantly battles to be our own Lord and Savior. That's the sin nature. The sin nature is from the Greek word that is often translated the flesh. Now, it's not talking about the physical body flesh. It's talking about this opposing God desires that are at work in our soul, in our heart, where we make decisions, where we think and process life. And it's fallen, it's broken in an evil direction, in a selfish direction. The sin nature in the Old King James translation, it just is called lust. It lusts after, craves after things that are opposed to God. And we all have that at work in our lives. Some of us have whitewashed it and we've given it a new name, but it still is what it is. It wants things other than God to be in the center of their life. And it's a powerful energy. In fact, that little word desires in verse 16. You will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. The word for desires is a very, very interesting term. And I don't do this very often, and I just want to do it to make a point this morning. But the Greek word for desires is epithumia. Thumia is just the word for desires, but epi is added to it, and it means over the top. And so what Paul is saying here is that the sin nature have these desires that are like desires on steroids. They're powerful desires that are in this sinful nature that want and move and energize to take over your life, to win this battle. And so, these desires are like inordinately big, all-controlling drive and longing of the flesh to get what it wants. And so our main problem, our main struggle, is not so much always that we desire so much bad things or evil things, but rather our desire, even for what we would consider good things, and God would even consider good things, when we desire to take even good things and make them above God in our lives. That's this over-desire. When good things become our God, it creates and generates this overdrive desire for these other things. And these things rather than God, and we're going to get into these things in a minute, they become life to us. And how you identify what they are in your life, it's simple. What do you live for? What do you think about all the time? What tends to get up in front of God in your priorities and in your life, even good things, become ultimate things. And what they become when they become above God is they become idols in your heart. They are the thing that you're really relying on and depending on for your sense of being somebody. Your sense of worth, your sense of importance, your sense of significance. You're not really getting that from God anymore. You're getting it from whatever you have identified as life to you. And they can be good things. They can be your family, your children, grandchildren. Good things. God wants you to be a good parent, grandparent. But boy, when family becomes above God, it becomes an idol. It can be your work. Work is a good thing. We are called to be people who work and are responsible. But when work becomes above God, it becomes an idol. And you can feel it. I draw my sense of significance and worth from my work, not from my identity in Christ. And that just all gets twisted around. And God says, at that point, it is an over-desire for something that is an idol in your life. And it's not coming from the Holy Spirit. It's not coming from the Word of God. It's coming from your own selfish, sinful nature. In your heart, you just feel it. I have got to have this thing to feel complete. To be somebody. In another place, Paul described it this way. These won't be on the screen, but just a couple quick verses. In Ephesians, Paul says this about Christians. All of us lived at one time satisfying the cravings of our flesh or our sinful nature and followed its desires and thoughts. That's the way everybody lived before they came to Christ. It was just automatic. There was no other source at work in our life. Peter put it this way. He warned Christians. He says, you must abstain from the sinful desires. There it is again. Which war against your soul. This is a battle. The sin nature wants us to be our own Lord and Savior. I want to be on the throne of my own life calling the shots. And I'm going to turn to whatever I feel like gives me worth and significance, what my life is going to be lived for. And what he's saying is the sin nature, for the sin nature, it's never Jesus. It is never Jesus. And so that is on one side of this battle. Let me add one more thought there that's important. The sin nature is always on auto mode. It's never off. You don't have to choose to operate according to the flesh. In fact, there's no button you can push that turns it off. So if you're not thinking, if you're going through life and you're not even thinking about this fleshly part of who you are and you're not aware of it, do you think that that means it's still not, that it's not operating? Biggest mistake of the Christian life is to be unaware, because every moment of every day it is speaking and pushing its desires on us. Now there is a remedy, and we're going to get into that right now, because there is in the other corner in this battle, there is the Spirit. Number two, the Holy Spirit is given to guide and more importantly, or equally important, empower us to live the new life where Jesus is Lord and Savior. Now, by Lord and Savior, just let me be clear. I'm not just giving you spiritual sounding words. In charge of your life, on the throne of your life, the Spirit is the renewed heart. When you get saved, we sang about it. We sing about it all the time. I teach it. Something happened when you got saved. God came in and did a supernatural transformation, and things have changed. There's a new power in your life. The Spirit is the renewed heart. And before it came along, the old sin nature ruled unopposed in your life. But now there is a new entity in the battle. The Spirit took up residence in your heart, in your mind, and in your where you make decisions and where you live when you trusted Christ. And it began a renewal process. It began a process of taking the you that really the only thing that had changed was I've now trusted Christ in my life. I haven't done anything different. I didn't do anything to earn this. Christ did it all for me. But now I've got the Holy Spirit, and He begins to do a work of transformation and growth in the life of every believer. And so there's this other new power, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, that is in this battle. And this Spirit, just like it said that the sinful nature has desires, over desires, well, so does the Spirit. The Spirit has desires for your life. You might say it this way. God has certain things He wants in your life. And He's put the Spirit there to keep guiding you and empowering you toward the things of God in your life. And something that is true of every one of us, and sometimes it doesn't feel this way, but deep down in your soul, if you are a believer, you want the things of the Spirit more than you want the things in the of the flesh. The Spirit, its power, it's deeper. And it is more powerful than the other. And you need to know that because there are some days, practically speaking, when it just doesn't feel that way. It feels like the sinful nature desires are overwhelming, probably because I've been feeding them. I've been given into them. And the more you give into them, they kind of grow. It grows, becomes more powerful. But deeper down than that, there is the Spirit. And for the Christian, it becomes the deepest, most significant part of us. And it is what God wants us to bring to life. But there is a battle going on. So I want to end just in the next couple of minutes. According to this passage, what is the key to this victory? If there's a battle between the sin nature and the Spirit, and just so we're clear, the Spirit, what is the Spirit actually all about? The Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, Jesus taught this. The Holy Spirit is going to come into your life and He is going to point you to Jesus. The Holy Spirit's job is to glorify Jesus. The Holy Spirit's job is to produce in us the resurrection power and life of Jesus. When you start getting into this discussion of the Trinity, you got to understand the Holy Spirit never draws attention to Himself. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus and always points us to Christ and to the beauty of Christ and to the glory of Christ and reminds us what Christ has done for us on the cross and what Christ wants to do in our lives as we continue on as Christians. So just so we're clear, the Holy Spirit isn't separate from Jesus. He is the power of Jesus in our lives. The resurrection power. So a couple of phrases. Number three on your outline. The key to victory. I'm using little phrases from this passage. Live by the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. I'm just going to look at a couple of these this morning. The first one, we saw it right at the beginning of the passage. Live, brothers, live by the Spirit. Again, he's commanding this. He's saying, Christians, you've got to do this, or you're going to just be slaves to your sinful desires the rest of your life. Live by the Spirit. Now, the word live in other translations, this is a major like picture that Paul uses. Some translations use the word walk in the Spirit. Okay? So back in Old Testament times, or New Testament times, I'm sorry, did people get on the bus to go places? No. Did people get in a car to go places? Did people hop on a plane to go places? No, the basic mode of transportation was you walked. And Paul says, well, that's a good picture for the Christian life. If you're walking someplace, you got a destination in mind. And the only way to get there to that destination is one step at a time. One decision at a time. One day at a time. You're not going to get there fast. Nothing flashy about it. But if you stop walking, you're never going to get there. So he says, keep on walking. Keep on living your life in the power of the Spirit. Day by day, moment by moment. This is why you can't be Sunday-only Christians. This is why the only time you think about God can't be this hour on Sunday morning. It is so much more daily and moment by moment than that. And maybe for some of you, that's a wake-up call. It's time to move from being a Sunday-only Christian to being a moment-by-moment, day-by-day, passionate Christ follower. Bringing Christ into everything that you do, into your work, into your family way you operate, into your hobbies, into your sinful habits. He says, live, walk by the Spirit. Keep on walking day by day. What does that mean? What does that even mean? Well, it means living in moment by moment, submissively trusting in the Holy Spirit rather than in yourself. Again, that line that we sang in that last song talked about my life given over, a surrender to God. That is the key, I believe, to living or walking by the Spirit. It is a conscious, regular rhythm of your life coming back to God with an attitude and a choice of surrender. And saying, God, it's a new day, and I'm going to make choices today. And there's all kinds of sinful desires pulling me in different directions. And I acknowledge that, but God, today, I'm yours. I need you. I need your understanding and direction in my life, and I need your power. I mean, the whole point of the Old Testament, I remind you of this. God told the people how He wanted them to live. He gave them the commands. And so on their own strength, they tried to live it. And did they succeed? Did people in the Old Testament succeed in keeping God's law? Never, never, no, no, because they tried to do it on their own, and that was God's whole point. You cannot live this life I've called you to live on your own strength. All you will discover when you do that is just how far you fall short, and that you cannot do it on your own, that you desperately need me. And so God then at the perfect time sent His Son Jesus to save us from our sins And now he says, I still want you to live a life to honor me. I still have these commands of how you are to live, basically characterized by one, love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Love one another, even as I have loved you. That should ring a bell. I've been preaching on that for months now. But he says, the only way you can do that is if you surrender your life regularly to me. If you surrendered your life to me yesterday, well, today, if you don't resurrender, you're going to be right off living the same old way. The spiritual life, the Christian life, is a daily dependence life. And as soon as we stop actively pursuing God, we start going back the other way. And those over desires of the flesh will just take right back over because they're deep rooted. He says in verse 18, very similar to live in the Spirit, he says, if you are led by the Spirit. It just gives us another, I guess, angle. The Spirit of God wants to lead your life. Again, it's a picture of surrender. Am I going to lead my own life or am I going to bring my life back under God's control and say to God in that prayer, in that time, God, lead my life. I want to be led by the Spirit. That means the Spirit's going to give you discernment and wisdom about the things that you're facing in life. He will provide that for you. God, I just don't know what to do in this situation. He will lead you. God, I want to represent Jesus in this situation, in this relationship, but I keep blowing it. I need you. I need wisdom here. I need to have some new thoughts on this thing. I need your direction. And He will give you not only wisdom, and that wisdom will always align itself with the Word of God. So oftentimes, for me, how that works is God brings me His wisdom as I'm interacting with His Word, and He brings it to life right off the page. He says, this is your answer. This is what love is going to look like here. This is where you're being selfish. And then the Holy Spirit, as you surrender, will not only give you understanding and wisdom, but the Holy Spirit, as you yield to Him, will give you, here's the key, will give you the power, the moral power, the power to die to selfishness and live for others. He will give you the ability to actually follow through with a life that is honoring to God. To say no to sin and yes to the things of God. Some of us might call that, Paul called it in Ephesians 5:18, the Spirit-filled or controlled life. So today's application is really simple. We're going to get into all of the fruit that can come out of a life that is daily surrendered to God. That's where we're headed. But right now, for today's purposes, I just want you to be clear on the battle. And I invite you, even as we close this morning, to offer your life as a believer in Jesus Christ back up to God and say, God, I need you. Thank you for saving me. And as I live out my life as a child of God, Spirit, guide me. I'm yours. Lead me. Give me discernment. Get specific. God, I've got this situation. In this situation that I'm dealing with right now, and I need your discernment. I've been blowing it. I've been stalling out because I don't know what to do. I've been handling it wrong and being selfish. Or maybe it's, I got this sinful thing going on that's kind of a secret, that's kind of an addiction, that it just kind of eaten my lunch. God, I need you desperately. Give your life over to God. What I'm inviting to you, as simply as I can say it, is a life of daily surrender where you consciously come before God and declare your dependence and you ask for His guidance and His strength to live that God-honoring life. Let's pray together. Father, there's a battle. My guess is that most people walked in this morning and haven't even thought about the fact that there is a battle. Some people never even knew about it. Others, we've known about it, but the fact that we haven't even thought about it, probably in months, some of us in years, betrays the fact that we're just kind of living blind. And what you've called us to, God, is a life of desperate dependence upon you that has to be affirmed and prayed on a regular basis. And so starting today, as believers in Jesus Christ, we come and we tell you, God, without your ongoing work of your Spirit in our lives, we're just not going to grow, and we're not going to overcome sin, and we're going to live oftentimes in defeat, and we're going to be caught up in just areas of selfishness and all these other things. Even good things are going to become the ruling power in our life and what really drives us in life. And God, we need to be living for Jesus all out. And so we declare our dependence upon you, God. Holy Spirit that lives inside of each of us, that desires the things of God and the resurrection life ways of God, we need you. We need your discernment. Some of us need your discernment even to identify what those fleshly desires are and to get real specific about them and repent of them. And some of us, Lord, all of us just simply need your discernment and wisdom and guidance. Lead us, Holy Spirit. Some of us are in some real deep struggles right now. Lead us and empower us to make the right choice, the loving choice, the unselfish choice, the God-honoring choice in all that we do. And then tomorrow, God, we're going to wake up Monday morning and we're going to give it back to you again. And Tuesday morning, we're going to give it back to you again. And Wednesday afternoon, and whenever, Lord, rhythmically, daily, we need to surrender to you, and we begin today. We love you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.